Welcome to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Good morning, everyone. Andrew Bates with you for your Monday morning, August 13, 2018. Plenty to get through today. It was a massive Sunday of sports, some good and some devastating news coming out of late yesterday. First of all, Jared Waite. Even if the Roos do make the finals, he could be in trouble after this hit on Trengove.
Now, how's that going to be construed?
That's right in front of us, Andy, and I've got to say, I'm not one bit surprised that Jared Waite's done this, because that's what he tends to do. He has these little sort of brain fades where he thinks, I'm going to make him earn that, and he's damn lucky it's not a 50-metre penalty.
Well, Western Bulldogs, 7-point winners over the Roos yesterday. Meanwhile, at the MCG, some terrible news with Alex Johnson, a suspected ACL injury. This was to the good knee.
I'm worried about Alex Johnson. He's gone down. Just watch this closely again. There you go. He just sort of clips the back heel of Hogan there.
That is the classic knee issue. That is the classic knee caught, toes caught in the ground. That is a disaster.
He knew straight away.
Isaac Heaney, though, made amends. He was unbelievable in the 9-point win over the D's at the MCG.
A one-on-one, then Pedersen quickly over the top. Hogan, flies! And takes one of the marks of the year!
And the Blues went down very late yesterday. 7 goals they conceded in the third term. Fremantle storming to another win.
Oh, hang on, son. Oh.
Wrapped up and holding the ball. And Fremantle will run into the open goal. Kirsten will finish it off. The Dockers dominating the third term.
There we go. So that is all the footy from yesterday. And we're keeping an eye on the US PGA Championship at the moment. Tiger started well. The crowd going nuts.
Makes it to 56. Get the ball! Get the ball! Pretty good.
Pretty great. Tiger Woods.
Yeah, so he finished that one off with a birdie. He's got a little bit of work to do at the moment. Jason Day has just made a birdie. He's at 9 under the card. Brooks Koepka leads the way at 13 under. We'll keep you up to date on the field trying to chase down Brooks in the next couple of hours.
You're listening to RSN 927's Breakfast Bite.
Now focusing in on what's coming up on the Breakfast Club after 6 o'clock. Half Whitey and Jimmy are in to discuss all the action from big weekend of sport. Make sure you contribute to 0416 90 50 52 is the text number. 1300 652 927 if you want to have a chat, or tweet us at RSN Breakfast. We've got Rodney Eade in for all of his dissection of round 21. Tom Harley, head of footy up in Sydney, will join us to talk about Alex Johnson and also the Swans prospects for the last couple of weeks of the home and away season. James Aish from Collingwood, after they have just about booked their final spot for the first time since 2013. Todd Woodbridge to join us on the future of the Davis Cup. Strong statements made by Tennis Australia over the weekend, and the early mail before 7. We'll try and get your winner to start your week off in the perfect fashion. Let's start with the footy news from yesterday. We might start with the worst news first, just to get it out of the way. Alex Johnson, as you heard in the highlights there, doing his knee in the first quarter, a suspected ACL injury yet again for this man who has had the most unlucky footy career of recent memory. The Sydney Swans ran out 9-point winners in the end, 13-9-87 to 10-18-78. It's a massive loss for the D's, but Alex Johnson seems like a bigger loss for footy in general at the moment. Here's John Longmire.
It's a strange feeling for everyone, to be honest. I mean, you have a great win, and you know, you really reached down into the depths of your character for that win, and we were thrilled with it. You come off the ground, and Alex has got a suspected ACL on his good side, and so everyone's a bit sort of digesting that, including Alex. It's a strange feeling. The players were very much focused on the job at hand. They actually, you know, applied themselves really well during the course of the game. I mean, could have been, you know, we could have just concerned ourselves about Alex, but I think they were mature enough to be able to focus on the rest of the game, the task at hand. And then just coming down the race, they were, they clearly were, feeling for him, and a strange feeling.
Yeah, it was a strange feeling for everyone indeed, not just Sydney supporters and the players, but I think the whole football world feels a little bit average after seeing that at the MCG yesterday. It was a good day for Sydney overall, stealing an upset win away from home at the MCG. They now jump a game ahead of Melbourne on the ladder into sixth position. They're even with Hawthorn and Collingwood, who are only separated by percentage. John Longmire spoke about the day as a whole.
Just a great win. You have two players down at quarter time and you're playing against a team on their home deck who's had a fantastic year and a great win last week. And just our boys were terrific. Yeah, absolutely terrific. They played that second and third quarter. Certainly moved the ball as well as we moved it, and were able to hit the scoreboard. And Melbourne missed some shots, and but we didn't have much luck go our way at the start of the game either. So, it was just a fantastic win.
Now to Simon Goodwin. This is where he thinks Melbourne lost it yesterday.
I thought the Swans were terrific in the way they tackled. The quality of their tackle and their pressure around the ball was outstanding. And, we didn't connect well forward to centre. It's been a little bit of a tale of some of our games this year where we've just struggled to connect and have efficiency inside forward 50. So that was probably, a bit of where the game was lost as well. We certainly didn't do that very well. But we need to actually be more efficient going inside forward 50. That'll help us. I think our set shots at one stage, one goal seven. I think we had another six misses as well. So, we had our opportunities.
Simon Goodwin speaking there yesterday. More from the D's a little later on in the breakfast bite. Let's head to the earlier game too, where it was another upset as the Western Bulldogs had a massive third quarter, eight goals to defeat North Melbourne. 92-85, the final score. It got close at the end, but the Dogs hung on. Let's start with Luke Beveridge, who was pretty happy with the win.
Pretty happy with it, obviously. Yeah, that's 2 weeks in a row we've come from almost five goals down to win, so it shows the spirits here, and boys are showing a lot of character. And we were a bit unstable when we lost Zane, and that belief in each other starts to come to the fore once you've fought a battle and you've come through the other side with a victory. And so that probably helped a little bit. And in the end, we've got to ask them to stay out there for a little while. And I suppose our history even has been that we haven't been that great. We've lost a player early in the game. We haven't been able to win a lot of those games. So to do it two weeks in a row when we lost Rourke last week.
Luke Beveridge speaking there after the win. Brad Scott, well, he was a little testy when asked about the match itself.
Probably had plenty of frustrating days at the office, but this would be right up there, I'd imagine.
No, not really, mate. It's just another day at the office. It's we did a lot right in the game and had a horror 30 minutes. So that Bulldogs kicked five goals in three quarters and 8-1. We just had a really bad period of play where we couldn't get the ball, and to their credit, they were able to go forward and score. It's interesting psychology when you can't play finals, like the Bulldogs can't play finals, that we're five goals down at half time. Let's just roll the dice. But they won the ball in the contest, and we couldn't get our hands on it. We couldn't defend them when they won it.
Brad Scott was also a little testy when asked about North Melbourne's finals chances.
You won't sit the final permutations and think you can still make it. I mean, obviously, you'd love to play finals if you could.
As opposed to not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So can you still play finals, you think? Or?
I don't know. Depends on other results, doesn't it? I mean, you guys, I promise you, you spend so much more time on that than I do. I don't even look at it. And I'm aware because it gets through via osmosis, but I don't sit down there with a ladder predictor. We just work really hard on trying to become a good team.
The other result from yesterday, Fremantle defeating Carlton after a 7-0 third term where they ran over the Blues and opened up the match-winning advantage. 29 points, the final margin, Fremantle over Carlton. Some big news out of that game with Matthew Kruse being a late withdrawal for the second time this year with a heart scare. So he had this problem a little earlier on in the year, made his return to the team. He was named a play and was pulled out of it late. Brendan Bolton here with an update.
Oh, he's going okay, but he had a good training block for the last few weeks, so we built up to the point where we were going to select him. And then on the training run the day before the game, his heart rate elevated for a small period of time, and we as a club put welfare right at the front. But his heart rate's getting elevated, well, it has twice now, when he's exerting himself. So it came down pretty quickly. It was only for a small amount of time, but that's enough to say you don't take any risk.
More footy news to come a little later on in the breakfast. Biting out of the world of the NRL. Not good news for the Storm. Losers yesterday at home at Amy Park against Cronulla.
Fecky's away. Back on the inside for Valentine Holmes. What work by Sasaya Fecky.
17 points to 14 they went down. It's a rare loss at home, especially with the good form that the Storm have been in over the last couple of months. Craig Bellamy, he did not miss at the post-match press conference.
Oh, a lot of thoughts, really. Probably overall summing up, I think this might be a little bit harsh, but you know, it looks like we lack a little bit of hunger at the moment, to me. I thought we started the game. Looked like we're waiting things to happen instead of making them happen. So that's basically how I'd sum it up. Obviously, I might have a different opinion when I watch it, but that's my initial thoughts. And I'm not quite sure why that would be at the moment. But you know, it's like we're not willing to work really hard for things to happen, and we'll need to change that if we're going to go anywhere in this competition. So. That's my initial thought, to be quite honest. Second half we did, without a doubt. We were down there often enough, you know. Our completion certainly improved in the second half. We know Cronulla's a really good scrambling side. You know, they're an experienced team, and, they defend well. And, like I say, you're going to score tries there, you're going to score points, you're going to have to earn them. And I thought, especially in the first half, we probably weren't prepared to do that. And, that's what I'd see that.
Craig Bellamy after the loss last night, 17 points to 14 to Cronulla. Cronulla are currently sitting sixth on the table. The awkward news for the Melbourne Storm is that they now drop down to third, and they're a game behind first and second, the Roosters and South Sydney in first and second, respectively. They do still have a massive points differential, so in terms of that, they will always be on top of the others around them, but it is a matter of racking up enough wins before the end of the year to finish in the top four. St George Illawarra, Cronulla and the Warriors are just one game behind the Melbourne Storm in third spot now, so it is getting a little bit tight and a little bit closer than Craig Bellamy would have wanted it. Ryan Hoffman too, an injury in that game to his ankle. Not good news considering this is going to be his last year in the NRL, and I tell you what, that may rule him out for the rest of the season. Ivan Cleary was the man who was spoken about most last week in the NRL after he was offered a job away from his current contract at the West Tigers. Phil Gould trying to lure him over to Penrith. West Tigers, meanwhile, had a 22 points to 20 victory over the Raiders yesterday at GIO Stadium. Ivan Cleary, though, wouldn't be pushed on what happened midweek.
Was it hard for the coach to stay focused on his preparation?
No, because that's my job.
Russell, obviously, the fact that you're still chasing the eight must have given you an extra bit of motivation to focus this week despite all the distractions off the field.
What distractions?
Ivan, Phil Gould came out and he said...
I know, look, I'm not going to talk...
No, but seriously, you said yesterday there was misinformation out there, mate.
Yeah.
What's the misinformation? Can you fill us in on that?
Well, I'm sure you can find the misinformation. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm sorry, mate. I get it. It's, it's all around a big story on it, but I said my position yesterday. I'm not going to talk about it. So you want to talk about the game? I'm happy to talk about that.
Plenty more sport to whip around on the other side of the break. All the Premier League results from overnight. The first round of the season has been completed. Some cricket news, netball. We'll update you on the US PGA Championship as well.
RSN 927's Breakfast Bite. Thank you.
to finish off the game then. Unusual it might be to see the leg slip in action. Deschamps wondering what he could have done differently. It's a good catch. It's a good finish for England. They've done everything they needed to on this fourth, and now it turns out to be final day here.
Yeah, not really a massive celebration from the commentators, but it was a huge celebration for England. They won by an innings and 159 runs over India. 7 for 396. The star was Chris Wokes, who made a century with the bat. Stuart Broad helped clean up the tail at the end of day four. So India dismissed for 107 in their first innings and 130 in their second innings. A massive defeat. Now England take a 2-0 lead in that series. To netball now, and the Sunshine Coast Lightning, defending premiers from last year, kept their premiership defence alive yesterday with a 1-goal win over the Firebirds. They are indeed. They'll play the Giants after they lost to the West Coast Fever, who are through to the grand final. So this week, the prelim final, Giants facing the Sunshine Coast Lightning. The winner of that will play West Coast in the grand final in a fortnight's time. Now to the EPL results from overnight. Arsenal didn't get their campaign off to a good start. 2-0 Manchester City winning over Arsenal. That was away from home at the Emirates, so it looks like they're continuing on their winning ways from last year. Meanwhile, Liverpool 4-0 winners over West Ham United. That was at home at Anfield, and Southampton and Burnley playing out a nil-all draw. But it was the perfect start for Liverpool. Mo Salah getting on the score sheet yet again.
Keita. Robertson in back to space. Here is Andy Robertson. There's Salah.
Yes, indeed. We'll talk to Russell Milton about the opening round tomorrow. Things to get underway this Saturday again with Cardiff and Newcastle to kick off the second round of the Premier League. And now to rugby. The Bledisloe Cup squad was named yesterday for the Wallabies. Here's Kirtley Beale, who says the squad's focused on breaking what is a 16-year drought before we last held the Bledisloe against the All Blacks.
It's exciting. It's Bledisloe Cup. It's the best of the best, and you know, it's going to be a great opportunity for us to hopefully strive to do something special. And we know there's a process in place that we stick to that. We'll be able to hopefully put ourselves in a position to do something special.
Just an update on the PGA Championship. Brooks Koepka has dropped two shots. He's now a co-leader. So he's gone bogey, bogey on his opening nine holes through the middle patch there. He's back to 11 under. So just struggling a little bit, Brooks Koepka, after making a birdie early and just stumbling through the middle part of his opening nine holes. We'll keep you updated with the Aussie charge all throughout the morning on RSN 927. In that final group as well, Adam Scott playing with Brooks Koepka this morning. So hopefully Scotty can do it on the back end of the front nine, have a really strong finish to what has been a great tournament for him. Back to the footy news from yesterday. As we said, Melbourne losing it, blowing another opportunity. And here's Simon Goodwin on where the D's need to improve.
Yeah, look, it's probably why we sit where we sit. You know, we've had opportunities and we haven't been able to take them. So, we've lost another close game. So, you know, we've just got to keep forging ahead. You know, this group keeps putting itself out there, so we'll continue to look for ways to get better. And those results will change. We're not sitting here saying that we can't beat top teams. We're looking to actually get there and break through that barrier.
John Longmire yesterday paid tribute to Isaac Heaney, who was just incredible in the Swans' 9-point win over the D's.
Yeah, he was fantastic that last 4 or 5 minutes. Our boys were out on their feet, and I think we had less than 70-odd rotations, I think. But the fact that Isaac went down there, we stopped running a little bit in that last quarter, and he did a real job for us. He's very got a very cool head. And he goes for his marks and played the role beautifully. That's why we put him down there, because he's very good at that situation. He's very good under pressure, and he was very good tonight.
Just heading back to Simon Goodwin. He started his press conference yesterday with the news of Alex Johnson and his sentiments, and I'm sure all of footy's sentiments towards the young Sydney defender who looks like he's done his knee yet again.
For a start, I just want to pass on regards to Alex Johnson. I think we all play this game and love this game for a reason, and it's been a great story getting him back out there, and obviously really sad to see him go down today. So I just wanted, as a footy club, to pass in our regards to Alex and his family, and hopefully we see him back again.
North Melbourne also blew a chance, like Melbourne earlier in the day. A 7-point loss to the Western Bulldogs. The final score 13-14-92 to North Melbourne 12-13-85. A couple of key shots at goal missed in the final couple of moments. Luke Beveridge spoke about Zane Cordy. They went a man down in the first term after he suffered a bizarre facial fracture. Have a listen to the Bulldogs coach.
He's got a little fracture in his forehead. Yeah, so I think it's just a bit of bad luck. I think the big fella Brown came down on him after a marking contest, and we think he's okay, but he's got a little fracture there.
It's a pretty unusual injury, isn't it?
It is, yeah. And obviously if it was too depressed, it'd be seriously concerning. But hopefully he's okay, and he hasn't got much of a dent in his head, and he's... And he doesn't bleed much, and he's all right. It seems like he's pretty stable, and it's not as bad as it could be, even though it's not flash.
Yeah. Will he play next week?
I mean, you can with a cheekbone.
Yeah.
But I suppose with the brain right behind your forehead, I'd hazard a guess he mightn't be available next week.
To Ross Lyon now after Fremantle's win over Carlton late last night. 29-point winners after a big third term where they kicked 7-0. First of all, Michael Walters looks like he'll miss the rest of the year with a hamstring injury.
He'll be done for the year now. So another hamstring. It's a big number now. I think we're looking at 14 or 15 players on our list. So it's a bit of a challenge, a fair bit of quality in there. I think they've got about the same number, but... From our end, if you think Sandilands, Fife, Hill, Blakely, Brayshaw, obviously, and this Griffin Logue hasn't played all year. There's more than we desire in there, but that's just... I think the Premiership, I think not only Richmond proven to be the best team at the minute, they've got the best availability as they did last year, so we'd all like to get their secret of successful player availability, but if you look around... GWS, Port Adelaide, those sort of teams around the mix are losing players. So I think it's going to be very, very difficult to compete against Richmond with a full list.
And let's finish now with Brendan Bolton, who wasn't happy with the Blues' third term yesterday.
Habits are actions repeated over and over and over again, and that's what's required in AFL footy. And for three quarters, I thought we did that. I'm absolutely filthy, as are our players, with the third quarter. Mm. 7 goals is unacceptable in a quarter. Pleased with the character to dig in the last, and I think we would have won the inside 50s in the last. Didn't totally capitalise every time. But three quarters just doesn't cut it. And when you give up 7 goals... in a quarter, that's unacceptable. And our players' consistency needs to grow. And that's what they're learning. They and I challenged really heavily at three-quarter time. We're filthy with that quarter.
Stay with us on The Breakfast Club. All the footy reaction from Half Whitey and Jimmy. After the 6 o'clock news, Rodney Eade will be in for his diagnosis on round 21. The early mail before 7 o'clock. And then a big half hour after 8. Tom Harley from Sydney, James Ashford, Collingwood, and Todd Woodbridge on the future of the Davis Cup. Have a great Monday. We'll chat again tomorrow.